So it should make it a lot easier on many of us this evening that we might be able to better understand what is going to take place here shortly. And I say shortly, it could be 2 to 3 years. So we can't lose sight of that. And I'm trusting in the Lord to work out a lot of things in the next 2 to 3 years. In the book of Mark is where we'll be reading from this evening. While you pray for us for just a few minutes of time, I won't be lengthy this evening. But we want to bring to you a thought that God put on our hearts today from this book of Mark. You could find this same scripture in all four of these Gospels. But in Mark 14, chapter 14, reading just one verse, down at verse 53 of this 14th chapter of the book of Mark. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And just that one verse, as we come into the season of celebration, let us not forget what we celebrate today came at a great price. A time that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was betrayed, as we brought on Sunday, we go from the time of people praising him and worshiping him to a time that just very shortly thereafter they were coming out against him, and the arrest took place. And we remember that it was Judas Iscariot who betrayed our Lord and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And you remember, even when they came out to arrest him, Peter was ready to fight because he took and drew the sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut his ear off. But the Lord told him, if I can paraphrase, that's not how we're going to fight. For this cause came I into this world. It's my time. It's my time is at hand, is the quote that the Lord said. But have you thought about, even after all of this, the disappointments that must have went through his mind? Because even though he was 100% God, he was still 100% man. To see all of those that betrayed him, and here now he's been arrested. And the Bible teaches us that the trials of Jesus began. And I'd like to use that for a text tonight, the trials of Jesus. Because sometimes I think we think of a trial as an event. But when we look at what the Lord went through, he not only had one trial, but he had six trials that took place. Six different distinct trials that he went through, and every one of them he had to hear the accusations of falsehood, lies, and he also had to present, or in many cases he said nothing, or thou sayest, was the words that he used. But he had six trials. Three of these trials were religious, Jewish trials. And three were civil trials, or by the Romans. And all of these trials that we're talking about tonight were carried out. And Many believe it was on a Friday that the trials began. And they started, and you could see the deception even at the time that they were carried out, from 2 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, we know that this was a rush to try to crucify him. Passover was coming, but also it was a fulfillment of the Word of God. It was a fulfillment of God's Word. And these were 8 very stormy hours that our Lord went through. And remember, just wasn't the trials, but you remember there was punishment that went along with those trials, even as he was sitting there. But I believe that the hardest part was to see the mockery. The physical pain he knew he was going to endure, but to see the mockery and the blaspheming of his name and the lies that were being told. We look at these and see that these trials, first of all, in John, the 18th chapter, verses 12 through 14, Annas was the first trial, the priest. And they proclaimed that he was a sinner. Nothing could be further from the truth, because our Lord knew no sin. He was the only perfect person to ever live in this world. And he lived a perfect life. He was not a sinner. And you remember the boy that was blind even from birth. They said unto him, "We know that this man is a sinner." But his reply was, "Whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But this I know, I was blind and now I see." Amen. He went to Annas. And the verdict came back guilty. Go ahead and execute. But then he had to go to another trial. Annas sent him to Caiaphas in Matthew, the 26th chapter, starting at verse 57. The second trial starts, and the decision came back that he deserved the death sentence, that he was guilty of blasphemy because Jesus proclaimed himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God. Guilty. 2 trials, Brother Jim. Twice, guilty comes back. And then the third trial, he was sent to the Sanhedrin court. And we see that in Matthew and Luke. And for the third time, the verdict come back, guilty. He deserved death. The thing I found that was so coincidental, if you'll have it, to me, is that Annas was the son-in-law of Caiaphas. Both of these were the high priests. One was appointed by one group, and the other one was appointed by another group. And they both, if we would use it in today's language, they were in cahoots together. And they also wanted to please the people. Anytime a church tries to please people, they're leaving God out of it. Whether it be the church itself, the preacher, the deacons, or whatever, we're not here to please man. We're here to please God. 3 trials and 3 times the verdict came back guilty. And then he was sent to the Romans for the civil trials. Even though these 3 previous ones said death, they did not have the authority to put him to death. They could only recommend to the Roman court what they would like to see happen. You see, not only was Caiaphas and Annas in cahoots together, the church and the government were in cahoots together. The government used the church to control the people, and the church used the government as well to get what they wanted and to have the power over the people. The first trial was in John, the 18th chapter, when he went before Pilate. You Bible readers know this, but look at this story. When he went before Pilate, the verdict came back not guilty. Not guilty. The church said guilty. The government, Sister Mary, said he's not guilty. But because Pilate was afraid of the people, he sent him to Herod. The second trial takes place. Herod listened to him. And you remember, was it not Herod's wife who said, have no part? Have no part. Herod listened to the charges that were trumped up, listened to the false witnesses, the lies that were being told, and the verdict came back, not guilty. So we have three that are guilty. Now we have two that are not guilty. And then Herod sent him back to Pilate in the book of John, the 18th chapter. And the verdict came back not guilty. Three religious trials, all three said guilty. Three civil trials, and all three said not guilty. But because the people cried out for someone had to die. Someone had to die. And we know that, and I forget if it was Annas or Caiaphas that said they had this impression upon them from God that they had to sacrifice a life. And it was that time of the year. Passover was at hand. Somebody had to die. And the people had been stirred in such a way that, and prompted that, when they would ask who should be delivered free, that they would ask for Barabbas, a man that was a murderer. If anybody was guilty, it was Barabbas. Jesus did nothing to deserve these six trials in such a short span of time. This would be almost like us going to a local court, it being sent to a district court, it being sent to a state court, and then it being sent to an appellate court, and then being sent to the United States Supreme Court, all within 6 hours. It don't happen. It don't happen that way. But you know, the Jewish, the church folk, could not stand this man called Jesus. And I ask, what did he do to deserve death? And the answer is nothing. But you know, not only did he go through these six trials, but you know, today, every time the gospel is being preached, Jesus is being put back on trial. And I said, I'm going to preach long, so listen to this real close. When you and I was under conviction, Jesus was on trial. Is he who he says he is, or do we look for another? Is that not what John asked? Is he the one, or should we look for another? And then they went on to elaborate, and you know the story. Send John this message back. The blind eyes are open, the deaf ears are open. The lame walk and the dumb speak and all kinds of miracles was being performed. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. But we, not only when I said he's put on trial again, we are not we are not who's the ones that brings the charges? The prosecutor. We are not the prosecutor. You know who prosecutes Christ in our minds? It's the devil. How many of you had thoughts like, and I'll share my own testimony and see if you had similar thoughts. When I was under conviction, the devil was saying to me in my mind, how do you know it's real? How do you know that this isn't just something that people work up or a story? How do you know the story is even real? And I became the judge. Is he who he says he was, or was he an imposter? But I'm thankful in my heart the answer came. He is not an imposter, but he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one that came to pay the debt that you and I could not pay. And because of that, I say, we can't let him go free. Because for this cause came he into the world. But I can say, I believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and that he died for my sins, and he died for your sins, that we could have life and not have to worry about death. Because in the book of Revelation, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, because on such the second death have no power. And the second death is when death and hell will deliver up all they have in their bounds, and they'll be cast into that lake of fire. And because we, individually, we come to a decision. Is he who he says he was? Or was he an imposter? Was he an imposter? And many today are still, not just us, but every time someone sits in the council of the Spirit of God and the Word is being preached, people sit and have to make a decision. Do we believe him or do we turn him away? And I hear that song to say from years gone by, best thing I ever did do was I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. Amen. Best thing I ever did do was pronounce Jesus Christ as the Lord of my soul and of my life. While we're here tonight and folks are out doing whatever they're doing, we ought to remember the trials that Jesus went through. And how that while he was there going through these trials, if I can turn over real quickly and see that all of these things that he went through was not for his benefit, but it was for our benefit. It was for our benefit. And the Bible, and I made mention of this, but let me read it to you from the book of John in the 18th chapter. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him like a common criminal. And here in the 13th verse, and led him to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, or Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. And in verse 14, Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. What is a man dying for the people other than Jesus Christ going to do? You know, religion sometimes get intertwined with witchcraft and sorcery. and devil worship. For us to offer up a man must die. What's it going to do for us? Other than we witness a man being put to death, maybe without cause whatsoever. The only man that was ever put to death that did not deserve it for other people was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I thought about these trials, and where was those that we preached on Sunday about that was crying out, Hosanna? Where was those that was praying and worshiping, thanking him for all that he had done? When trouble comes, they're nowhere to be found. Today, in our time, there's no reason for a man to be crucified because he can't even save himself. The one who could save has already been crucified and placed in a borrowed tomb. And I don't want to get ahead of Sunday, but how many of you know he's not there? The tomb is empty. They may have falsely accused him and thought, we're doing away with him and we'll no more have to contend with this man called Jesus. And here we are, 2,000 plus years later. And you know what we're still preaching about? Jesus. Amen. You know what we're still celebrating? Jesus. You know what we're still telling people? If you want to be washed white as snow, it takes Jesus. Caiaphas, Annas, and all these others, Herod and Pilate, they're all done away with and buried. And their name holds no power whatsoever. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. He suffered it all because he loved you and he loves me tonight. Six trials in a matter, 8 hours? How quick that was all put together. But yet, you know, it wasn't the devil's orchestrating, but it was God's orchestrating that Jesus would pay your debt and mine for all eternity. They did not take his life, but he gave his life. Even during the trials and the time of the beatings and the scourgings and all the slapping on the face and tell us who it was that smote thee. The Bible teaches us he could have called more than 12 legions of angels to come and set him free. But yet, for this cause came I into the world, that you and I and everyone before us and everyone after us until the coming of Jesus in the clouds of glory can say, I believe Jesus was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And he's the only hope mankind has of having their sin debt forgiven is by his name. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Six trials. And think about all the people that sat under conviction throughout the years. From that time even to today, all the people that sat under conviction and had to make a judgment. Is he who he said he was? Or is he an imposter? Is he a fake? And I just say this from my heart. If he was fake, I could not feel in my soul what I feel today. Amen. If he was fake, what did I get when I went to the altar? Because I remember the burden was lifted. Amen. The burden was lifted. And I no longer worry about dying and going to hell like I once did. If it wasn't Jesus, then tell me who it was But I hear them to say that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you shall be saved except through and by the name of Jesus Christ. He went through those trials for you and I. He suffered for you and I. He died for you and I. And I said I don't want to get ahead of myself for Sunday, but can I put this in for good measure and I'll close. I don't want to leave him on the cross. Nor do I want to leave him in the tomb. But I want to preach a Savior who bled and died and rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And oftentimes at Easter and other during the course of the year, Robbie will lead us in a song. He lives, he lives. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Amen. Aren't you glad he lives in your heart today? And that you made the best, you know, we're all faced with decisions along life's journey. But the best decision anyone can make is asking Jesus into their heart and their life. Tonight we've got so many that are sick. So many that are going through things that you and I don't even know about. How many of you remember of probably over a year, maybe even longer than that ago, I said in a message that we come into church, we put on our best smile. While inside, there's all kinds of things churning. But you know, God can take care of everything that we're concerned about tonight. He's able to fix everything that is broken. He's able to take care of these that are sick and afflicted. And he's also able to take care of that job situation with Brad and these others, that God will just work it out for your grandson and make it so that that excuse would be taken away. And I'm not asking God to take his job. I'm asking God to open a door. I'm asking God to open a door for Brad. I'm asking him to touch Clarence and Georgie in their hearts. Ron and Sharon. Brother Ott. All these others that are so sick. My dad. And Brother Eli. You know, the list just goes on and on. And I don't want to repeat the whole prayer list. But there's more than you and I can comprehend that's going on in lives. But I know a man who is able to take care of every one of them if we will pray, faith, believing. And we're going to close with prayer because it's so needed at this hour. In fact, I probably could say that every service, Jack. Prayer is so needed at this hour for these and for so many others. So I ask you tonight in this little message, let's not put him back on trial, but let's lift him up as a resurrected Savior and King of our heart and our soul. Would you pray with us tonight as we close?
Still King of glory. Lord, help us today with the many needs that there are as we think and ponder upon them for these that are sick and afflicted. For Brother Clarence that needs your touch, and Brother Ron, for Brother Ott, for my dad, Lord, for all these others that need a touch as well, that God, that don't let me forget to mention them as well. But God, you know our heart. You know their names before we cry out. But Lord, I'm trusting in your name for deliverance. They stand in need of you. be leaving this world. But God, if it be your will, we pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. And God, we pray for Brother Brad that's in this hour, Lord, with his child. We pray that God, that you would work it out. And not just him, but also Brother Holcomb's grandson. God, I pray tonight for so many that need just healing in their heart and in their mind. That God, that you would help them today. For these that's going through treatments, that God, that you would be with them and bless them, Lord, in their time of sickness. That God, that you would touch them and let them feel your presence in that room today. God, I know if they feel your presence, the medication will be strong. God, they'll be able to praise you for it, Lord, for the victory that you've given to them. Go with us, Lord. Be with our church. Help us in the ordeal that we're facing. Help us tonight, God, with our people that are lost. Bring back your people, God, to the church. Give them a desire to be in your house at your appointed time. Go with us now. Lead, guide, and direct us. Be with those upon the highways, robbing the fair, Lord, to come back home, and others, no doubt. Be with them and watch over them. Lead, guide, and direct. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless each and every one of you tonight. Think back on what our Savior went through just for you and I this evening. And we ought to be the happiest Christians there are, happiest people, because God has done so much for us. God bless you. Don't forget Saturday at 1 o'clock. All right? So come out and be a part of that and watch and participate and have a good time of fellowship. God bless you tonight is our prayers.